especially if you have lost friends or loved ones. But this will be encouraging to you if you're born again. You say, something about this being the last hour and something about the Antichrist being encouragement to me. Well, yes, if you're born again, because the Bible has some promises for you that it doesn't have for the rest of the world. So, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know the truth, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Lord, we ask your blessing now upon your word. You promised to us that it would not return to you void or empty, but it would accomplish that whereto you sent it. Lord, one of the reasons you've given us your word is not only to give us peace and comfort and strength, but also, Lord, to cause us to love you better with more knowledge, to be empowered for the battle ahead, to put on the whole armor of God and to look to you for your grace and strength according to your promises. We pray that you will bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, we should be watching and waiting for our King's return. It says, you know, this is the last hour. We know that was almost 2,000 years ago. But time is irrelevant to God. Time was his creature. When he created the universe, especially his creature when man sinned, because had man not sinned back in the Garden of Eden, time would be irrelevant. We would live forever. For the wages of sin is death. And so, you know how old Adam lived to be? He was in his 900s when he died. The longest living man was 969 years old when he died. His name was Methuselah. And he was was he the father of Noah or the great-grandfather of Noah? But Noah was either his grandson or his son. And I don't remember right now. If you'd asked me 2 years ago, I would be able to tell you, but I've slept a lot since then. So you know that Noah is his son or his grandson, Methuselah. And Methuselah's name means he shall bring rest. And it's pointing to a prophecy from God that Noah, whose name meant peace or rest, there would come that peace and rest of destroying wickedness and unrighteousness that was filling the world at the time. Behold, the judge is standing at the door, James said. And Peter reminded us, the thief cometh, the Lord returns as a thief in the night. He said, many come in our day, even now, that are scoffing, saying, where is your Lord's return? Because since the creation of the world, everything keeps going on. Peter says, these are scoffers. He said, they're going to be really surprised when Jesus comes. So if Paul could say in his day, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. How much more is it at hand now? Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And so we looked at just last Sunday, just a couple of points on the sign of many antichrists. And just for a way of quick review, the forerunners of the final Antichrist, there are many in our day too. There were many more than there was in John's day, as he wrote, there are many Antichrists because there's many more people in the world today than there was in the days of John the Apostle. As that's why he says in verse 18, even now many antichrists have come. And chapter 4, verse 1, there are many false prophets. And in 2 John chapter, or not, there's no chapters in 2 John. 2 John verse 7, many deceivers have gone out into the world. Realize the church was still young, but man is still wicked and corrupt. You say, well, people are more wicked now. There's just more wicked people because there's more people than there was. But people have always been wicked and evil since sin came into the world. So many false prophets, many antichrists have been around us from the beginning, even though it seems that there's more in our day. They refuse to confess the deity of the eternal Son of God. We read that here in 1 John chapter 2, that they deny that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They deny, he who denies the Son denies both the Father and the Son. So I've heard people say, well, you know, when I've witnessed to them door to door, I've had people say before, just tell me about God, but don't tell me about Jesus. I look at him kind of funny because that's a weird thing to say. Jesus is God. He's God in the flesh, and he always has been God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. He made the angels. He made things visible and invisible. In the room right now are angels. We can't see them with our eyes of clay, but as soon as we pass, we can see the spirit world around us. And they refuse this, the deity of the eternal Son of God. That's one of their marks. So how much of the media denies the eternal deity of Christ? How much of our education system? I had a young lady in our church years ago who decided to go to Arizona State University. And after a couple months of it, she would just break down and cry. She wasn't going to learn sociology or how to be a school teacher. She was just learning how to assess water purity. And she wanted to get a job with the city of Phoenix, Arizona, to test the water in the different parts of that valley. If you don't know, if you haven't been there, it's hard to tell where Phoenix turns into Mesa or Scottsdale or Tempe or now Chandler and Gilbert, Arizona. All these cities have been swallowed up into one big metropolis around there. And so she was going to be testing the water out there. And what she was crying about was, you know, our teachers, every class I go to, they blaspheme the Lord Jesus Christ. And they make fun of those who are Christians, and they blaspheme the written word of God. She said, every class I go to, it's not so much about water treatment. It's about attacking Christianity. If I were to tell you that most colleges and universities are exactly like that, the only place that you can go into a major college or university that you won't hear Christ defamed and blasphemed and Christians made fun of, the only place in a college or university where you won't hear that, for the most part, is the business section. For whatever reason, those that are taking up business management, those who are taking up business law, they don't waste their time or attack the family. Another thing they do in public colleges and universities is that they turn the kids against the parents. Even though the parents are spending all this money to put them to school, those university professors drive a wedge between the children and the parents, to where when the kids come home, do they say, oh, thank you, Mom and Dad, for paying for me to go through college. Thank you for raising me. Thank you for taking care of me. No, they don't. They bring them away where they come home and they blame the parents for the greenhouse gases and the earth pollution and all this other stuff that's going on. They imbibe this weird, ugly, anti-Christ, anti-family, anti-patriotic jibber-jabber, and it changes them. I remember when my nephew, before he went to go take education classes, he wanted to be a teacher. He went to UCR. And before he went, he loved America. He loved Jesus. He loved the scriptures. He was regularly in church. And they changed that boy for the worse. He became a communist. He became to where he was fully accepting of all these perverse things like transgenderism and all this other baloney. They changed him because day after day, class after class, he was being taught to be a globalist. He was being taught to think his parents were crazy, and they were the reason that there was the world would end in 10 years because of greenhouse gases and climate change and all that stuff. They ruined him because day after day, class after class, they attacked Christ. They attacked the other things like the family. And nowadays you go to a public college or university, they get you to hate the white man, especially straight white Christian men. They're the problem with the world. They're the problem with the country. And so it's very, very sad what they do. But most universities, 99% of them, the other would be Christian universities that don't do that. But they poison the minds of the kids and turn them against their parents and turn them against the church. In fact, if you were to look up the website Answers in Genesis, they're Calvinists like we are. They teach a six-day creation like I believe, and I hope you believe as well. But they realized that kids that were grown up and were homeschooled or went to good Christian schools and one time had embraced six-day creationism, loved their parents, loved police, loved anybody in authority, they prayed for them. These kids that when they went off to college or university that wasn't a solid Bible-believing Christian college, that they soon turned their back against Christ and the faith. You can read all their articles upon it. They could tell you story after story, and they happen every day. So am I glad that COVID shut down the universities? Yeah, but then the kids went into the streets and started beating people, killing people, setting towns on fire. They're the most part recruited while they were on campus. Antifa, if you've heard of them, they're mostly professors. Antifa recruited by professors on campus. This is Antichrist. Instead of saying Antifa, they need to say Antichrist. And these universities, instead of saying this, that, and the other thing, ought to have the name on the front. No Christians allowed. We'll destroy your faith. If you went to Harvard before you entered into the main gates, you would find these scripture verses written, and you'd find things that had to do with real education, and you would find God exalting things in other places of the university. Same with Princeton and Yale, Brown University, Dartmouth University. They were all brought up to train a godly generation to love their parents, to love their country, and especially to love King Jesus. But now, they're the exact opposite. And so, these things are antichrist. The media is antichrist. Whereas Christians say, the Lord is my shepherd, the media says to us, the news media in particular, no, we're your shepherd. We'll not only tell you what's happening, but we'll tell you things that aren't happening. And we'll tell you what to believe about it. Because you don't know, you poor little dum-dum. You're not part of the media. And expect you to swallow their lies, hook, line, and sinker. But the media is antichrist for the most part of it. Hollywood is antichrist for the most part of it. And so when we hear John right here, there are antichrists many. There are many. He doesn't mean just a few scattered here and there. He means they're all around us. And this is the sad part. This is the really sad part. Most, are you watching? Churches. most so-called churches are antichrist. You have whole cults that are antichrist. And many thousands and thousands of people in those places of worship that deny that Jesus is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, the true and only Savior. There is no other way to heaven but through Him. He is the door that we must enter if we would have salvation. He alone is the door. He alone is the bread of life. He alone is the water of life. It is by looking unto Jesus, but they'll teach you it's looking unto this and looking unto that. A lot of these churches are, you get to heaven by being baptized. And then other churches say, well, you know, not only you have to get baptized, but you have to speak in tongues to prove that you have the Holy Spirit. To prove that you're really born again, you have to speak in tongues. Are you listening? That's an antichrist church. We must look to Jesus Christ and Him alone for our salvation. Not anything good we can do or how good we are or may believe we are. I remember when I was young, I went to church with one of my best friends. I had two best friends. One's name was Jack and the other's name was Jill, believe it or not. Well, his name was Jillis. It was a French word. But he went by Jill. So my best friend was Jack. My other best friend was Jill. I went to church with Jill. He went to St. Francis Catholic Church, in Riverside. And I said, why are we doing this? And why are we putting this water on our foreheads? And why are we getting down on our knees on this padded bench in here? And what is that priest saying? Because he was speaking in Latin back in those days. What is he saying? Jill said, I don't know. I just do this to make my mom happy and because I feel better about myself. We're supposed to go to church to make Jesus happy. And if God's word confronts us truly where we are a lot of times, we don't feel better about ourselves. We feel worse about ourselves. And we have to go back and recommit our lives to God and say, God, you've got to help me live this Christian life because I can't do it. I can't please you in my thoughts. I can't please you in my desires. I can't please you with my words. I can't please you with my actions without your help. You've got to work in me. You've got to inspire me. You've got to strengthen me. I need your courage. And so we don't do these things to make ourselves happy, but to make Jesus happy. But you see, a lot of churches, it's about making them happy. They have a music program set up so you get your foot going and yeah. Oh, wasn't the choir great today? They really helped my feelings. You know, why didn't you say what you learned from God's word, first of all? Why didn't you say, not that the choir wasn't great, but you could have put that further down on the list. You could have said, God is so good. I learned about His word, and I had the chance to truly seek to worship Him by His grace and by His strength. There's antichrists are in false churches. They teach a different Jesus. They teach a different gospel. They have a spirit, but not the Holy Spirit. And we ask the question, why don't we call things the way the apostles did? Do we have more refinement? Refinement? Are we trying to make people happy? Are we trying to be popular? Are we trying not to hurt people's feelings? Well, Brother Ross, if I hurt their feelings, they might not ever receive Christ and go to heaven. Do you think you're going to make them go to hell any faster than they're already going? A lot of times it's by getting under somebody's grit and their crawl and making them think. I remember when I was a teenager and I was running around like a wild hoodlum. And I was in a store one night and my friend was going to buy some rolling papers. And no, we weren't getting Prince Albert in a can. And a little old lady came up behind me, just a little drink of water. And she said, boy, you better get your life right with God. Jesus is coming soon. And if He comes tonight, you're not ready. And so I walked out of there trying to say, well, I've never murdered anybody. I've never done this or that or anything, right? But she got to me just by saying that. And other people say, well, that's offensive for her to say that. She was right. And she made me think. And I started praying, you know, the only prayer I knew before I went to sleep at night. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, and I was afraid to go to sleep after what she said to me, because I might die before I wake. And I had that strong suspicion I was going to hell. And see? And that's what it takes sometimes, is telling people the truth. Truth is the best medicine. I don't want the doctor coming in if I have cancer telling me, well, the reason you have headaches, you're not taking enough Excedrin. I want him to tell me the truth. I want to know the truth. I might not be able to change it, but I'd like to be able to know what I should be praying about for sure. Amen? And so, why are we afraid to use these words that our forefathers were not afraid to use? John Calvin called the Roman Catholic Church Antichrist. Martin Luther did the same. John Knox did the same. And the countries that they were serving, the nations where they were, have never gone back to Roman Catholicism. Scotland today is mostly Presbyterian still, like John Knox. The same with Switzerland and the places where John Calvin ministered, and Martin Luther in Germany as well. Are we more loving or more tender than Jesus? Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. When he looked at the religious leaders of the day, what did he call them? Whited sepulchres that indeed appeared outwardly beautiful, but inside were full of death, dead men's bones. He said, you vipers, you serpents, who is warning you to flee from the wrath to come? That kind of message, that kind of preaching is what we need today. Instead, the first thing that people come out with when they share the gospel or think they're sharing the gospel says, Jesus loves you. What my Bible said is God is angry with the wicked every day. His wrath is abiding on those who do not believe. He calls them everything that they are, sinners, reprobate, unclean, enemies. You say, well, doesn't Jesus love everybody? Jesus has a general compassion over all his works, including kittens and puppies and baby giraffes and all these things. But his special love is for those who are in Christ. And if you are outside of Christ, you have no right to say God loves me. You have a right to say God is putting up with me. God is commanding me to believe on Jesus, but until you do, you can't say Jesus loves you. He has a tender compassion over all his works. The Bible says the baby ravens cry out and he feeds them. God has a general care for his universe. But you can't go to... You know where the gospel starts with? Gospel doesn't start with Jesus loves you. The gospel starts with, you're a wretched sinner, you're lost and undone, and you are on your way to hell. God is righteous, and you must face him at the last day. Either you will face him with your sins, or with your sins forgiven. And the only answer is Christ. Why would a man reach up to be saved unless he saw he was perishing? Why would a man call out for Jesus to save him unless he knew he was lost? They have to be lost before they can be saved. Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They have to know they're sinners. And so, let us move on now, break some new ground quickly. In our passage, we see here and in other places of the New Testament, there is a final Antichrist. We see here in verse 18 of chapter 2, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. by which we know that it is the last hour. I know there are some of my preterist brethren that don't believe in a final Antichrist, and some of our postmillennial brethren who love the Lord. The postmillennials think that things will get better and better till Jesus comes. In fact, a lot of postmillennials believe that almost the whole world will come to Christ before he returns. I don't see that in the Bible. I'm sorry. I don't. I love these brethren. I love reading some of their books about other things, but when they're talking about the world getting better and better, like Rush Dooney or some of the others have taught, I don't see that. I see Christ asking, when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? No, you know, that's a good question. There is a final Antichrist. We could look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 1 through 12, but that would take a lot of time. But let me go ahead and teach you and tell you, you should read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. The Antichrist not only has the name Antichrist, but the name the man of sin. He's also called in the book of Revelation, this wicked one. And we can go into some of those other names in a second. The spirit of Antichrist pervades society even now. It pervades America's educational media. You start naming it, and there's not a place where the Prince of Darkness doesn't have the majority of people. It opposes Christ. It claims equality with Christ. It substitutes Christ. It fills our government, our media, our newspapers, our educational system, and many religious institutions. They will teach evolution. That's Antichrist. They will teach abortion. That's Antichrist. That sounds like King Herod coming after Jesus when he heard news of the Savior's birth. New Age globalism, the United Nations, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, you start looking at major parts of the American government is Antichrist. The Antichrist is called the man of sin. He's called the son of perdition, which means the son of hell. He's called the lawless one. He's called the false prophet. Sometimes he's called the beast. And there have been pictures of him throughout our history. We were talking about Pharaoh this morning. Pharaoh was a type of Antichrist. The children of God were under bondage and in slavery, and he was trying to stop them from being free to worship God according to the teachings of Noah and Seth and the others who had come before that had passed on the oral traditions about God. We have seen another Antichrist when we saw Nebuchadnezzar, the first part of his reign, until he was humbled by God when God made him like one of the beasts of the field. And he ate grass like a cow. And then God raised him up and he gave the glory to God for who he is and what he had done. But the first part of his life, he tried to kill Daniel and Mishael and Hananiah and Azariah, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Darius, the king, respected Daniel. He loved Daniel. But he also was Antichrist in his treatment towards the other children of God. Antiochus Epiphanes, who attacked Jerusalem and sacked Jerusalem, took in front of the Jews on the altar of sacrifice, cut the neck of a big pig, a big sow, and offered it in sacrifice to himself. He was Antichrist. Nero was Antichrist. When the city of Rome burned, he blamed the Christians, and many of them died by the thousands and thousands where they had to live under the city. Muhammad was Antichrist. Today he still has millions of followers, but he denied that Jesus is God. He denied that Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. He denied these things, and so that made him an Antichrist. Vladimir Lenin and Karl Marx in the Soviet Union. Some of us are old enough to remember what it was like growing up with a threat of nuclear weapons coming from Russia and landing in America. And We know what it was like that you, when you couldn't have the scriptures. Can you believe this? We have whole generations that are born after 1991 now that don't realize that it was illegal to even own a page of scripture in Russia and its satellite nations, Yugoslavia, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Romania, Estonia, and you start naming a whole list of them, Ukraine. You were not allowed to own one page of the scriptures or you would be put into a Siberian labor camp. Those of us who are older know what it's like. That a whole nation could be antichrist. And the Christians attacked and made to suffer so bad, most of them starved and froze to death in Siberia labor camps. Hitler killed 6 million Jews. He killed 5 million Christians. We don't talk about that, do we? 11 million Hitler killed. Yes, he went after the Jews like a ravenous wolf, a hate monger, a racist. But he also killed 5 million Christians who would not raise their hand and call him father. Do you know what mein Führer means? My father. And the Christians wouldn't do it because Jesus said, you shall call no man your father in earth, for you have one father which is in heaven. Amen. Men like Dietrich Bonhoeffer and others who were God's elect were martyred for the Christian faith at the hands of Adolf Hitler. Secondly, about this Antichrist, this final Antichrist, he will be powerful. When Barack Obama was elected, a lot of people thought this was the final Antichrist because he was so Antichrist. He went to a church for 20 years that not one time ever told people about Jesus. They were marrying homosexuals, allowing open lesbian homosexual relationships in the church, and preaching communism. They didn't sing about Jesus. They didn't preach about Jesus. So he will be powerful. In Revelation, you can read about this 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, see how powerful he will be. In Revelation 13, verse 8, it says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That means every unsaved person will worship this Antichrist. So you ask me, is he the Antichrist? I said, no. The Antichrist is going to be a lot smarter, a lot more deceitful, a lot more powerful than Barack Obama. Was he Antichrist? Yeah, but he wasn't the Antichrist. All on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And his destruction, again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. If you want to learn more about him, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. His destruction is sure. And then in Revelation 19 and verse 20, it says, the beast was captured, and with him the false prophets who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive in the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now, I said that the Lord's people should rejoice when he's revealed. Why should we rejoice? Because we know that the Lord Jesus is coming very soon. I believe the Antichrist is on the earth right now. I do believe that. Because so many people are so gullible. They believe everything the news or the newspaper says. You know, my mama taught me one good thing when I was young. She said, don't believe everything you hear. And only half of what you see. And wasn't she true? So many lies going around and so many people believing them. And Revelation 19:20, it talks about them being cast alive in the lake burning with fire and brimstone. That's enough to make us happy, but the Lord's people to rejoice in this hour. Why? Number one, the Bible teaches us we will not be deceived by the Antichrist. We will not be deceived by the world. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, Jesus said, For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But it's impossible to deceive the elect, because Jesus went on in John to say, the sheep follow him, talking about him, the good shepherd. The sheep follow him, Jesus, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. In chapter 2 of 1 John, you're there already, look at verse 19. And we'll see verse 19 through 21 and skip over to verse 24. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest or made known that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now look at verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, eternal life. So we're not going to follow the Antichrist. And this megalomaniac, what is he going to do to the church in return? That we don't believe him, that we don't raise our hand and say, Mein Führer, like with Nero, we don't bow the knee and say, Nero is God. And thousands of Christians were killed because of that, multiplied thousands. Or we don't look at the Pope and call him the Pope, which is El Papa, another term of the word, the Father. Jesus forbade that from us. And this is the anointing which you have received. Oh, verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. That's a great promise. For every true child of God, every born-again, blood-washed child of God, you will not be deceived. God promised it. In those verses in Thessalonians, you'll see that upon the world, God will send a strong illusion that they should all believe the lie. But then the assurance is, but you won't. Those of you that are Christians, you'll see right through it. And so that's encouraging. In verse 25, where we read, we already have everlasting life. We'll not be judged and punished in hell along with the beast and the false prophet. Our Lord is in absolute control. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school, right? Our Lord is in absolute control. The Antichrist is his monkey. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11, let me quote this. God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It's strong delusion. Where does it come from? It says, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Now, we don't even have to say God allows it to happen, because he's doing it on purpose. He will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 17, one of my favorite verses to condense a lot of the scripture down, especially the book of Revelation, into one verse. Revelation 17, 17. For God has put it in their hearts to fulfill his purpose. Who is he talking about? He was not talking about his children. He's talking about the beast, the false prophet, the harlot, the wicked on the earth. God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. That it should make you happy, that God won't let you be deceived, that you already have everlasting life, and that while others will be made to believe a lie, you won't. You know his voice, and he'll keep you. The application quickly is this. Let us beware of the spirit of Antichrist teaching. It'll come to us flattering the flesh. You know, you've heard the commercials, and almost all the media commercials are about something you might want to eat, or about makeup you want to put on, or clothes you want to wear. None of them are instructing you about your soul. None of them have to do anything about the eternal part of you that will live forever. It's about, you deserve a break today. Have it your way. No, have it God's way. You deserve a break today. Yeah, a broken neck and to be sent to hell. Right? Let us beware of the spirit of Antichrist teaching. It comes to flatter the flesh, to deny Christ's perfect atonement, his absolute sovereignty, and the sufficiency of his grace. It makes salvation depend on the works of man. And it comes into us in the other way, on the liberal side more, claiming that all God's children, or that everyone is God's child. Well, everyone is God's creation, but not everyone is a child of God who can call him their father and Christ their brother. Make your calling and election sure. If you are not saved before the Antichrist comes to power, the Bible says you'll be made to believe a lie. You'll be made to think that good is evil, that evil is good. That's right. A lot of people believe that today. Let not your heart be fixed upon Antichrist. Remember we were talking earlier about, you know, politics and so on. Let not your heart be set upon this temporary life and this temporary kingdom. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Cease ye from, what does the Bible say twice? Let God be true and every man, what? A liar. And so, let not your heart be fixed upon Antichrist, but upon Jesus Christ. If we do as we saw some in Sunday school today, the truth that his greatness, his loveliness, his glorious majesty calls for our worship, calls for our attention, calls for our waiting upon him and watching for him. And if the Antichrist is revealed, you, since you're a believer, even the youngest believer, even the newest baby Christian into the family of God, will know. That's what the Bible promises us. And we will not be deceived. And as Revelation closes out its book, the Antichrist will be so full of wrath that he will, as it were, surround the people of God and to try to kill us, to call us the camp of God, and try to kill us. But what happens at the last moment when he thinks he has total victory and it's going to annihilate the Christians? What happens in Revelation? Fire, just like Peter said, just like the Gospels say, just like Paul said, fire comes down from God out of heaven and destroys them. And so Christ is in charge. He's in absolute control. And like we said, Antichrist is his monkey with a chain around his neck. And God says jump and the monkey will jump. God says die and the monkey will perish. And God is in charge. And he promises his children that we have eternal life and we will never be deceived. Father, we pray you bless the message to our hearts. Help us to take encouragement that we don't need to be looking for the Antichrist. We'll know when he was revealed. But we need to be thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and be encouraged and lifted up and warmed in the love of our hearts, because you've so loved us that you gave yourself for us. And Father, it was the gift of your love. You so loved us that you gave us your only begotten Son, in whose name we pray, amen. Amen.